Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, a really good topic came up from a sister, and I think I've touched on pieces of it here and there in past blog posts, but it's just a really good one to bring up here because I know a lot of sisters that suffer in the flesh, and I want to warn us all about this. So what we're going to do is talk about natural healing versus alternative or a holistic healing. I don't know if there's any other names out there, but those seem to be the most common. So natural healing is basically just allowing the body to run its course. You know, God has created us for our body to go fight against illnesses and stuff. And then sometimes our body might be weakened and we might need some of the herbs that he's given us to kind of help give us whatever it is we need, the nourishment for our body to go ahead and heal itself, and just to see if that helps. And I'll just be honest, I've had some personal experience with really painful trials in this flesh of mine, and I've tried natural healing, and then when that didn't work, I looked at other ways like this. And some I tried, and then, you know, it wasn't long and I was really convicted. And I stopped once I researched what they're all about, and I want nothing to do with them. And so I'm just going to read a list of the various forms of alternative and holistic healing, and then I'm going to share what the dangers would be. So let's see, acupuncture, homeopathy, meditation, Reiki, Bowen therapy, yoga, naturopathy, Ayurveda, reflexology, acupressure, cupping therapy, crystal healing, hypnotherapy, and we could be here for a while because that list seems to go on and on, but those are just a handful of the most popular. And I'm just going to be honest with you, for the sake of redeeming the time for the Lord, I'm not going to go through each one and list all the dangers associated with it, because quite honestly, I got better things to do with my time for the kingdom of God. And to me, if there's one thing wrong with something, one thing sinful, I'm just not going to do it. Like, let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So sin is evil, and there's various forms of it under there. But within each one of those that I listed to you, there's some sinful things about them. And so I'm just going to abstain from all of them, and I would caution you sisters too. And I also caution you from spending too much time digging into those, just like I'm not going to do it. I spent too much time in the past digging into each one and learning about them and looking to see, and then you get this great big list of sins in it, and it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like giving Satan our time instead of God. So if you see one thing wrong with something, and just pluck it out and move on. That's the way I look at things. You know, we serve God, not ourselves, not our flesh, not Satan, not man. We serve him. And our Savior said that if something causes you to sin, pluck it out. So anyway, we're just going to look at some of the reasons why we shouldn't participate in some of these practices. Well, the ones I listed, and probably many more of them. And keep in mind that all of these here anyway contain at least one of these sins, and most of them contain more. And mysticism is the one that I see the most common in pretty much all of these, and us saints of God are forbidden to have anything to do with such things as mysticism. So that right there wipes them all out. And I'll just give you a couple more. There's one, disqualified. Okay, so here's just a few more. They also say that they're like channeling this life force energies or energies from the universe or working to restore body rhythm. You know, it's like the universe has the energies in the body, or the body has its own force or something. That's like mysticism as well. And, you know, sisters, we know this. God is the giver of life, not the universe and not the body creating its own life force within itself. That's all. That's wrong. That's pagan. And then a lot of these, or most of these, are probably, I guess if I went to dig through them all, they probably all do originate from pagan religions. And we're not supposed to be having any gods before the one true living creator God. And we don't want to be doing what the pagans are doing by participating in their wickedness. So we should have nothing to do with any of that. And I'll just give you one more. You know, some of them They tell you to empty your mind, and that'll open up the door for Satan to come in. I know this. I've done some of these, and Satan has a lot of power when we open up ourselves to doing things that we ought not to be doing. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not emptying ourselves out. It makes me think of that scripture verse where it says, the demons left, they swept it clean, and then when they came back, it was empty, and they brought more with them. And so, anyway, that should be enough to reject them all. One sin, just toss it out, sisters. Getting tongue-tied again. I don't want sinful sisters. So if there's a sin, sisters, toss that sin out. So anyway, just another thought. Because someone gets healed by it, it doesn't mean it's good. So ponder that. Because I've tried some of this stuff, and I know some sisters who have also. And something has worked within it. And sometimes it's really hard to understand, how did that work? Why did that do what it did? And you know, ponder this. Exodus 7, 10 through 12. Satan can do magic. And we can see it right here. Let's read it. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became as serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. So we see right there some magic, sorcery, magicians. Well, I guess that's magic. I just said that. And so think about that. Now think about this with Job. God allowed Satan to affect Job's flesh all the way to the point of boils. So think about that. God could allow Satan to buffet our flesh. And if we go seeking mystical ways to heal ourselves, you know, some of these practices that seem really innocent. And then as we do that, maybe Satan will remove what he afflicted us with. And we could make it think that, or it could make us think that we were healed by the practice that was done. See what I'm saying? So now if we do stuff like that, we've just given allegiance to the enemy, and God is robbed of his glory. And here, I know some of the doctors or practitioners, whatever they call themselves, say they don't believe in the origins, and they just, you know, they'll say, but it works, so I do it. There have been people who claim to be of Christ doing a lot of these things. And they're like, well, I know it just doesn't seem right. And it doesn't go with what the Bible says. But it works, so it must be of God. And, you know, that's kind of like Christ mass origins being pagan. And years ago, the Christians knew it and they rejected it. And today, the professed believers, they ignore the origins. Just like, you know, some of the practitioners do. And they sanitize it. For their pleasure, right? Because Christ Mass is all about their pleasure. They say it's about the Lord, but it's not. And they're still doing what Satan created it for. Distractions and living a lie. And they give him, while they're doing it, all the glory and allowing themselves to be deceived by practicing all these pagan things. And so, sisters, God gives us what we need to be not deceived. Go read James 1 about asking for wisdom. I go to that all the time and share that with people. So, okay, and one thing you might have noticed that I didn't mention on the list, and this is a really popular one, and I wasn't sure where to put this one. I'm just going to give you a warning on it. Chiropractors. And yes, most of them use mystical techniques and some of these other things, like that circle disc, and they put chalk on it, and they hold it a couple inches up above your back or something, and they rub their fingers back and forth, and when it gets sticky, they know there's a hot spot, and they'll touch your finger on the back with chalk. I know, because I used to go to a chiropractor. I asked her what it was, and she says, well, I don't even know how it works. I just did this. This was before I was in Christ. I didn't know. But anyway, when I was looking back on that, I was like, oh, that is so wrong. But there are some of them. She ended up leaving some of those things behind and doing more natural manipulative therapy where she didn't use any of that stuff. She did use some herbs, no mysticism, no candles, no music, no nothing. and would just help put things back in place. But you still have to be really careful in using them as well. You got to use great wisdom. And another word of caution I want to share is I've used so many years of my life, even after becoming born again, to try to heal myself through food and supplement and some of these practices and research. And quite honestly, it's when I gave it all up and I surrendered it all to the Lord and I asked Him for the grace and the power and the strength to just learn how to get through all this. I needed His strength to help me. And I was willing to live with all of it. I mean, I didn't have a choice. I was willing to forsake all that time and the energies and everything that I was focusing on to try to heal myself. And over the years, He just kind of lessened some of it. But I had to press through those years first and be willing to die to myself. And I kind of had a lust of wanting to have good health and be rid of pain. But when I put all that down and just said, I'm willing to just do whatever it is that You have for me, Lord, and I know You will give me the power and strength to get through it, He did. I've stood out on the streets witnessing in tremendous pain that all I wanted to do was just lay down. But while I was out there, He gave me the power to get through it. And this is interesting because Brother James and I, we have some issues here and there, and I have some that can be very severe at times. And we both noticed that when we're out witnessing, we could both have an issue. And we go anyway. And when we start witnessing to somebody and the conversation is going on, it's like we don't even feel that issue, that pain, that ailment, or nothing. And then when the witnessing is done and we're just, you know, flying our signs or whatever, and until the next person comes up, it's like it comes back. It's amazing. It's like, hey, I just want to witness all the time. But it just proves, you know, walking in the spirit and not the flesh. So I kind of learned a lot from that, just being able to press through and accepting my lot in life. And God did have mercy on me. And it taught me how to lean on Him more. And a lot of other lessons have come from it. But anyway, I wanted to share this because I love it. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. So I encourage you, sisters, turn to the Lord, seek His guidance, be willing to joyfully endure whatever He allows in your flesh. And if some simple herbs help, then by all means, use them. But don't waste your life looking for a cure. Deny yourself. Deny the life that you want to have. And just be thankful and content in the one that He has for you. And once more, I'll just say, be very careful who you go to for healing. And I wanted to read a couple scripture verses on this. It would be, let's see, 2 Chronicles 16:12. And Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. Just reading this so we can ponder about that. And we need to think about the woman of blood who went to Jesus. Yep. And so anyway, just a quick note. I just wanted to say that we don't tell people that all modern medicine is bad. Just trying to think about how to say it. I mean, it's just a conscience issue, but we always caution people about that as well. You know, so we've just looked through this list of holistic and alternative medicines which are practiced in pagan origins. Boy, I'm having a hard time speaking today. I'm twisting everything up. And mysticism and life forces and emptying your mind and all this. I mean, so we push those aside. Now what's left? We have God's herbs and healings, or herbs and maybe healing from God and maybe not. And then what's the other one? Modern medicine. And so modern medicine, for the most part, can be kind of practical. You got a broken arm, they can fix the bone and put a cast on it. You have a tumor, they can cut it out. There's a lot of modern medicine that Brother James and I won't do, and I won't say it's like sinful for other people to do, but it's not based in wickedness and sin necessarily. But wow, you really have to be careful, and I don't really want to go delving into the subject too deep. I would just say what we mainly want to do is focus on the Lord, and He will give us guidance. And there are some gray areas and conscience issues, so I'm just going to let that subject go. Just wanted to make that point. Anyway, I'm going to leave us with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen. Praise God. All right. Stand strong, sisters, soldiers, saints. There's those S's again. Much love to you all. Hold fast. May God be praised.